Hello and welcome to CyberSafe News and Views Live. My name is Lee Frazier and I'll be your guide. So today I'm all alone. My team is off and they're not going to be part of our live today. But I wanted to cover a topic that has been very common, we've been asked about it a lot. And that's, how do I buy a good PC? And actually, let me back up. It's not that we've been asked a lot about it. Our customers are going out and buying new PCs, and they're not good. So how do you buy a new PC and avoid scams, avoid refurbished or a CPU that's underpowered? Or if you just don't know all the terms, we did a podcast earlier in the series describing the different parts of a PC. I'm going to assume at this point you can either go back and watch that, or that you will get the gist of all the parts and components from this live today. So let's talk about how we do that. Let's talk about how we get a good PC with avoiding some of the pitfalls of the common things out there. And we'll talk about some of those as well. Then we're going to cover the news of the week, and we'll see where we are. So let's get started. So if you want to buy a new PC, you need to determine a budget, and not just a budget, but a functionality. If you're listening to this podcast and you have a small business, or you are part of a healthcare practice, you probably shouldn't be buying a PC without someone's recommendation. Having said that, I know there's a lot of people out there that want to buy their own PC and they go to Sam's Club, Best Buy, or everyone's favorite, Amazon, and you just pick up a PC. And sometimes those are good deals. Sometimes those are high quality PCs and sometimes not. And they kind of get a zonk. So how do we get through that? What are the components you need to be concerned about? Well, again, if you're running a business and you need to have cybersecurity software running, that's a certain level of computer. We'll look at some of the ones that wouldn't support it, and then we'll look at some that would. And then on top of that, what else are you doing? Are you a creative? You spend time in Canva and in Facebook and Messenger, and it's open all day long, and you've got 50 tabs at the top of your browser, and you know you have the Adobe suite. These are all considerations for what exactly you need. So keep that in mind. The more you need, the more PC you need, meaning it might mean memory. It might mean more disk because you're storing large files like videos like this. Or it might mean that, hey, just things need to happen, snap. And if it doesn't, I'm not happy. So depending on exactly, or you're running an EHR and you're not running it locally, but you're running the client locally, whether that's cloud or on-prem. So all things to be in consideration of, and you just don't want to buy a low-end PC that's just not going to get the job done or not going to keep you happy. So let's do a couple things here. I'm going to share my screen and let you see some things on the good old Amazon. So we'll share my screen. This is a small device. It looks like that couldn't possibly be powerful enough for what I need to do. It actually can be, depending. Now, it's a fairly low processor, AMD Ryzen 5 5560. You don't need to be concerned about that. I'll show you what you can do to look at that. You know, how powerful is it? What do I need to do? Well, there's a site that I love to when I want to compare CPUs, and that's Passmark. Right here. It's cpubenchmark.net. It's got a Passmark logo at the top. And what you can do, oh, wrong one. Here's the AMD Ryzen 5 5560. And it tells me a couple things. So first, we're focusing on CPU. How much processing power does this PC have? How much do I need? The need is up to you. How much processing power does it have? Well, that comes down to two factors. One being the single thread power, and one being the total number of threads times that single thread, or times all the threads, as we'll see with the Core i7. But this one has a single thread rating of 2834. Now, is that good? What do you have now? Is it better than what you have now? Hey, it's 10 times what I have now. Great. Is it enough? Again, that's a consideration that you've got to make, that you've got to decide on. And when in doubt, go for the newest, go for the fastest, the best. Now, there are some power considerations with this as well, but most people that run a PC aren't really concerned about the power usage of the PC. So this one has a 2834 and a total processing power of 15094. Now, is that good? I'll tell you that that is more than servers probably 5 years ago on the whole. Servers maybe 5 years ago is too soon, 7 years ago. But on the whole, things have graduated so far that the processing power in your little PC outweighs what servers had not that long ago, and some even still to this day. So that's consideration number one. I love CPUbenchmark.net. Keep track of that when you want to look at, hey, what's this CPU actually going to do for me? Going back to this, to Amazon and this PC here, we can see it's got 16 gigabytes of DDR4. Now, 16 gigabytes is really anymore my minimum. Anything that I buy for my business has to have 32. Now, why is that? We spend all day in our PCs. We do everything. We don't close windows. We keep tons of windows open. We've got Microsoft 365 open. And then, you know, on my team, I've got some creatives. I've got some people that are doing administrative work and just tons of tools, tons of different things. We run 32 gig of memory. Now, most people don't really require that, but at some level, if you are concerned about, will this be enough, just get more memory. And you get that generally from when you order it. You can add memory, especially to this device. I have this device on my desktop, actually. It's what I'm recording on right now. And this device, I added 32 gig of memory. So it now has 32 gig of memory. It's got a, I believe I got the terabyte, not exactly this link. I got a terabyte drive. The drive is how much storage space you need. Again, if you're a creative or you keep mass amounts of some type of file, you may need up to a terabyte. You may need more. That's for you to determine. But the key here is this is a 500 gigabyte NVMe M2 SSD. You don't really need to be concerned about a lot of these here. 500 gigabyte and SSD are your biggest ones, unless you are ordering a server or exceedingly concerned about, hey, I need to transmit just huge amounts of data. That's not most people, even if you are a creative. So you need a solid state drive. You may see, instead of SSD, you may see HDD. That is a hard disk drive. And that is what I like to call a spinner. It's got fingers that read platters, and those platters have to spin. They spin at a certain speed. It's old technology. It's functional. If it's a backup drive, fine. But if it's your primary boot drive, you probably don't want that. So if I'm talking gibberish, leave me a comment. We can have a conversation. I can help you, or I can answer your comment below. But CPU number one, the amount of RAM that you need, number two, and then the amount of disk space you need. And it must, in my opinion, be an SSD. Whatever you're going to get, make sure you get an SSD. It's a solid state disk drive. and it is just absolutely so much faster than the HDDs. So, and this one then comes with additional functionality. Being a small PC, I just wanted to point out that this one is completely adequate for most small businesses, unless you're going to get into, again, high volume data, video editing. Even this would be fine, probably with video editing, and just high-end things. So that's number one. That's a good PC. It's not refurbished, and this Ryzen is a current generation of CPU. Let's look at a couple others. If I look at this one here, well, we'll actually click on this drive. This one looks great. Looks like it's a gaming PC, right? We don't know. For only $418, it's claiming to have an Intel Core i7. If you're not familiar with the Intel Core CPUs, this is a fairly high CPU, but they're not telling you. And I actually looked all over this page. They don't tell you anything about it. So you might buy this PC and say, it's going to do great. It'll do great for work. And then on the weekends, I can play games on it. I'll tell you, probably not. This is probably a generation, hard to tell, 7, 6, 5. And generations in CPUs kind of go like years in cars. For example, you can go out today and you can buy a 2024 model car. You might even be able to buy on some that are coming out brand new, 2025s. Great. This is probably a Gen 7. Their currently released is 13. This is, I would estimate, again, there's no way to know, 6, 7 years old. And it's not like the CPU has been used that long, but this CPU, which it possibly has, completely unknown. But it's more that the CPU technology is just that old and it's not able to do as much. If we look over here, I believe this is the one that, wasn't able to do this one because I couldn't find a generation. That's right. So be careful. If the price seems too good to be true, it probably is. And you know, this has 16 gig of RAM, doesn't say DDR4, DDR5, don't know. And it says 512 gigabyte of SSD. This one is, to me, this is complete scam. I would not touch this with a 20,000 foot pole. All right, moving on. Another one that people like to do. Hey, this one looks like the first one, right? The first one was nice. Okay. And this one potentially is too. This is an Intel Nook. So if you like the first one, this one is a name brand version of that. The first one was a B-Link. This is an Intel Nook. 13 Pro, that's another thing that you need to be concerned about. Does this come with Windows? This one comes with the Windows 11 Pro. Very important if you're running your own small business, if you're running a healthcare practice, you need Pro. There are certain aspects of it that we can dive into at another time. That can keep you safe and your data secure. So you need to have Windows 11 Pro. This is a 13th gen Core i7, and it gives you the exact number. If we click over here to my CPU benchmark page, now you can see that this one, a single thread core, 2834, and a total 15,094. Now, is that great? I can compare this now against the AMD that I had before. And if I'm concerned and it's in my budget, I get the higher one. That's up to you to decide completely. But it gives you the metrics, the knowledge you need to know which one you want. This one is actually really high tech. It's got multiple threads, multiple cores, and some of those are actually low power cores as well. So that's a whole nother podcast if you want to know more about that. But that's a nice PC. It's got 32 gig of DDR4 RAM. Great. It's got 1 terabyte of the SSD. Again, you can pretty much ignore the NVMe unless you're doing just high-end amounts of transport of data. And then Wi-Fi 6. So another good PC. Let's show you a couple bad ones, or at least ones to be aware of. If you just need a box, it just needs to function, it just needs to run some small component, then maybe these are okay. But here's one. Great. This is it's like the first and the second one. They look great, right? Well, this is an Intel 12th gen at Alder Lake N100. Well, what's that? Yeah, great question. I don't know. It's a CPU they've released in the last, year. It's been over a year, I think. But when we look at that, Intel, that's the wrong one. That's the one. Intel N100, Alder Lake. And you can see the single thread speed isn't bad, but it's only got a 5555 total processing power. Low power usage, great. Four threads, four cores. So it's not a powerhouse here. The problem is with this device, with this CPU, when you want to do some high-end processing, or really just you're going to meet its ending capability way too quick. I have a client of ours that recently bought one of these in a laptop. And I wish, please ask for advice. Happy to give it. Happy to give you additional information, or at least keep you informed in this type of a format. But it isn't powerful enough to run cybersecurity software and your daily tasks. It's just not. And it's not like I'm loading things up and just absolutely crushing the device, but the CPU just isn't powerful enough. And there are other better options, unless, again, all you need this to do is one single task. I'm just browsing the internet. It's for my kid. It's for PowerPoint. It's whatever it's for. Okay, go in knowing that it's going to be slow. It's going to be a little bit lethargic, and you might reach the end of its capability rather quickly. That's fine. But go in knowing and not expecting that this is just some stellar superpower machine. Again, it's got DDR4. It's got 512 of the SSD. You know, all good. Looks perfect. The last one I wanted to tell you about was, and I just picked it out of a list. I looked for refurbished devices. Hey, this is an Intel Core i7. Good CPU. Looks good. Four cores. It's got 32 gig of DDR4. It's got a 1 terabyte SSD. All good specs. This is probably a model that Dell currently puts out. The problem you have is it's refurbished. It's, in this case, renewed. They don't all say renewed. They'll just say, hey, this is an Intel Core i7, and that number behind here, this 7700, this is the generation and the CPU. So you look at that, and I know by default, hey, that's 6 years old. That's just old technology. By the way, the CPUs and how they age, this is slower than some of the slowest. This is probably slower than the Alder Lake that I was just showing you. So this device is just, it looks good. It looks like it's going to be a great device, but it's got an old CPU. Be careful. These CPUs, everything we do on our PCs grows exponentially every year. Web pages need more memory. Web pages need more CPU. And then everything else you're doing just depends on the evolution of those CPUs. So you get one that's 6 years old, 7 years old. They still sell Gen 1, Gen 2 Core i7s. Don't touch them. There are other cheaper options in this price range that have newer, faster CPUs. So, I don't think I looked this one up, but that is absolutely just so slow. So just not to be bothered with. All right. So hopefully some of that has been useful to you and some of that has been at least informational. So if you have questions, if you have comments, again, leave me something below and leave me a comment, and I'm happy to respond to all your comments, to answer any questions, to give you advice, or maybe we'll just use that to generate another issue of our podcast. So if you're not sure, CPU, memory, and disk. Disk, get an SSD. Memory, minimum of 16 gig, DDR4. And then on top of that, the CPU, go to CPU benchmark and compare what you're looking at. Many times you get it from Sam's Club or Staples, Best Buy. They may not have the newest CPU, as I mentioned. A lot of the sellers online, Dell and HP specifically, will only carry some Gen 12s and then Gen 13s. So they'll carry the newest, latest, greatest. But even then, you can get into the wrong area on their site and get something that just wasn't made for what you want to do. So let me know if I can help. Leave me a comment down below. All right, moving into news. United Healthcare Group, if you pay attention to our podcast at all, they've been a primary focus over the past few, month and a half, 2 months. United Healthcare Group finally admits they paid the ransom. They paid the ransom to get their data back. So 22 million dollars worth of paid ransom, but that's not the kicker. That's a kicker for they paid the ransom, so they're sustaining this business model of, hey, I get your data and then you pay me to give it back to you. FBI says it's a new business model. I hate it. It's our current state of being in this world. So they paid a $22 million ransom. Again, that's not the big deal. The big deal, they're estimating on their earnings report an $872 million impact to their bottom line because of the ransomware. That's huge. That's a factor of, I don't even know how many times their actual ransom. They've spent so much time. They've been not able to process transactions. They've lost some, I'm sure they've lost some transactions. They've lost data. The impact that they had to pay fines or to insure others, and just the things they're estimating for the impact to their bottom line, the better part of $900 million. So these things are never just as cheap as, do I pay the ransom, or simple as, do I pay the ransom or do I not? Even when you pay the ransom, you're in for serious amounts of money to get everything put back in place. For United Healthcare, they got to make sure that everybody's out of there. Well, they didn't do that the first time and they got ransomed again. That was a couple weeks ago. But you've got so much work to get everything back up and functioning. And the people that are required to do it don't come cheap. Even if they work for you, they're estimating $872 million. I just can't believe it. But it's what they're reporting, so it happened. It's real. Police, in our second news article, police actually issue a statement that they took down a phishing as a service site, a site that does phishing for others. They advertise that, hey, this software that we've developed will phish your customer list, and then you get the benefits of it. It's unbelievable that this is out there, that's allowed to be out there, but that's our global economy today. What are you going to do? This one, they were able to take down. The site they took down, someone can phish you if you're in their contact list for only $249 a month. Guys, this is a business model. If you don't know what phishing is, and know it's not your rod and reel and going out there and catching a largemouth with a hook. If you're not sure what phishing is, leave me a comment down below. We did another episode on that previous. Happy to help. If your business, if your small business or your healthcare practice needs help, reach out. Or if you don't reach out to us, reach out to someone. Become educated. This is too easy. I don't have to develop my own phishing software. I don't have to know much about it. I license them and I send it out to all my client list. So they shut down one, great. But I can tell you that two popped up right after them. And if it was two, it was 20. So it's something that you need to be aware of. You need to be careful that you don't get phished and you don't contribute to somebody else's bottom line. All right. In our last article, kind of like a, I don't know what they're thinking, but there's a new Windows driver for Microsoft devices that will now prevent software from changing your default browser. So let's say you don't like Edge. You like Chrome, Firefox, Brave, something else. Don't care. I truly don't. I use Chrome, have for a long time. They now are preventing those softwares from changing your default browser. You can still do it, but you have to do it manually. They won't allow it to actually change it in the background or to change it via a script, which many companies do. Many enterprise IT companies will change it. Hey, we don't like this version. We like this version, and change it in the background. So what's Windows thinking? What's Microsoft thinking? I don't know. I just report the news. I don't make it. So that's just almost in wacky news this week. But that's the funny one. So that's the news this week. I hope you found this valuable. If I can help you with buying a new PC or just it can inform you more on the news, please leave me a comment down below. Like, subscribe, watch all of our content. And we'll see you in the next one. Stay cyber safe, guys. Thank you.